Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second.
It's been getting busier. It's been getting busier.
Yes, we've had people attending the theater again.
Mm-hmm. People coming out and seeing movies and...
buying popcorn.
Attending workshops.
Yeah.
Hosting workshops.
The clones of our employees are back and doing their jobs and hosting workshops on top of it.
And we've been working the host shops.
What's up with that? Why are we doing that?
When did it fall onto our laps to host the to work these workshops?
Like, listen, I get that the clones don't need to sleep as much as we do, so working a 12, 18-hour shift doesn't affect them, but they're asking us to do the same, and I gotta say, like, it's starting to wear me out.
Wear and tear me out.
Yeah, you only have like half of a sweater on. The other half is gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. I'm assuming it got tore off, but
yeah, I was wearing it. I was walking briskly, and I took a corner real sharp, and I just snagged on a nail that was sticking out, yeah. Which, like, can I sue for that?
What, destroying your sweater?
Can I ask Sue for that?
Sue on behalf.
Can
of
I
your
ask
sweater?
Because then. Because the nail held your sweater thread and you walked away from it?
Yeah, and I didn't ask that nail to pull the thread as I walked away, destroying my sweater
subsequently.
So you
want to sue a nail?
No, I want to ask Sue about the nail.
Oh, it was outside Sue's shop.
Yeah, it was outside Sue's shoes shop.
Her shoe workshop that she's running out of the theater?
Yes, Sue the cobbler. Uh-huh. The shoe shop she's running out of the showroom. The shoe shop she's running out of the Cineplex.
So you're saying Sue's shoes made you lose your clothes?
Use? Correct.
Well, honestly, like, you wouldn't have been rushing if we hadn't been forced to run these workshops in addition to our regular duties here at the theater.
Yeah. I mean, why... So it all comes down to being overworked again. Why is it that people just assume that we have nothing better to do?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have anything better to do, but I'd maybe go home and sleep sometimes or something. That's something worth doing.
And you know what I heard through the grapevine?
What's that?
It's that it's that the wine this season won't be that good.
Oh,
but
no.
I also heard that that we're not getting paid overtime for this shit.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I've been banking on that.
Dude, you've got to stop banking on being paid for the work you do.
But that's the workshop I'm teaching. I'm teaching banking, basics in banking.
Wait, you're teaching now?
Yeah, aren't you guys, haven't you been assigned workshops to teach?
No, I make the macaroni for the workshops.
Yeah, he makes the macaroni and I supervise.
18 hours a day.
And you, what do you do, Greg?
I supervise.
It sounds like you guys got better jobs than me. I have to teach the basics of banking, which I haven't even been properly trained for.
And Greg just eats macaroni all day.
Hey, I'm testing it to make sure it's safe for the customers or guests
if we're following the corporate handbook, which I just want to say, this theater has gotten really corporate.
It has. Yeah. It's gone corporate, man.
Yeah.
Fuck the man.
So yeah, now we're the theater, as our clone employees returned, things have also just been like changing. Like we said, their workshops are being taught out of the theaters when they're not showing movies now. So there's that shoe workshop that Sue's teaching. I'm teaching banking. Henry's making macaroni.
Yep.
And Greg, you're supervising?
I am supervising, yes.
What are the other workshops that are going on?
History of hysterectomies, baking and eggs.
Wait, those are those two separate workshops, or those?
Yes,
are...
yeah, those are separate breakout sessions.
Sure, sure.
There's
walk a mile in my shoes. It's a walking class where you everybody wears the same pair of shoes.
There's the aerodynamics of water droplets. That one's fascinating. They give you a little gift bag at the end, and you would not believe what's in it.
Is it just water?
It's just a bag of water. It's basically a big water balloon.
So here's my question about this. So as soon as they decided to get the theater back up and running, they started running these classes, teaching various skills. I feel like this is a means for the clones to start expanding their knowledge, learning different things that they don't already know.
That would make sense.
Yeah. It seems like a sharing of skills and knowledge among the clones.
Yeah.
It's like another route to knowledge.
Is that just knowledge for knowledge's sake? Something I'm worried about. May I vocalize a worry?
Sure.
Do you think that the clones intend to take us out?
I mean, they asked me to teach banking. They seem to think I have some value. Unless they think I'm Kyle McClonsky.
Oh.
I don't think that they would mistake you for Kyle McClonsky.
Well, here's the thing. All the clones have become incredibly smart and are talking like Thurston Howell III from Gilligan's Island.
And how's Kyle McClonsky doing?
Yeah.
He's nowhere near the level they're at. So if they looked at us side by side, I hopefully appear a bit smarter. They might just assume, well, this must be the clone, and that's the dumb human one.
Oh.
Hmm. Well, that's quite the theory.
And then they give you two, who they know are human, these menial tasks like making food and observing the classes.
Supervising.
Yeah.
My role is very important. I have various tasks and jobs.
What did they ask you to do?
I am overseeing. I am making sure that everything runs smoothly. It falls on my shoulders.
Is that what they told you? They said, "Now listen here, sport.
Yes,
it all falls on your shoulders."
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Your job is very important."
And I said, "Yes, sir." And then they said, "Oh, when did you get here?"
Are you sure they were talking to you, or were you just observing a conversation and decided it was directed at you?
So you were supervising this conversation?
I was supervising this conversation. I was on looking, and to whom else would they have been talking? There was only me and the several people they were talking to in the room at the time.
So you were a part of the original clone meeting where they decided to start running these workshops out of the theaters?
I would say that I was a part, and as much as a table can be a part.
Were you disguised as a table?
Disguised is such an ugly word, but it's very accurate.
It's really not that ugly of a word unless...
I mean, listen to the word. Just listen to this word. Disgusting.
That's not the word I said.
That's a different word. Should we just get the podcast started? I mean,
let's just get the podcast started.
We have to get back on the clock. You all have to get back on the clock.
I'm running out of Roni for this Mac though, so we'll just have to figure that one out.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, welcome to Break Room at the Cineplex.
My name's Kyle McClinsky.
My name's Greg Basil.
And I'm Henry Harris.
And welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Well, this week we watched a movie.
We did.
All of us. Damn right.
At the same time, in the same room.
And we're going to review that movie.
Yeah.
And, I think, I'm just going to start by saying the title of this movie.
I mean, why would you start anywhere else?
Why not?
Any other introduction
Now, here's
is
something, if you'd like, why don't you start with the last scene first?
Well, how about title, then last scene?
Title, last scene.
And then all the rest.
And then we start from the beginning and go.
All right. This title was called Big Boris and the Magic Tuxedo. And the final scene of the film is as follows.
Boris lays on the ground, both of his knees shattered. And his tuxedo.
A woman in a wedding dress runs up to him. Holding a golf club. That'll teach you to leave me at the altar.
And he looks at the camera and he goes, "Just my luck." Cut to black.
All right. Now to the beginning.
So back to the beginning of the film.
Big Boris.
Big Boris. So Big Boris, he works for a kayaking adventuring club.
And, right. And he installs kayaks in rivers.
Mm-hmm. He installs mm-hmm. them. He takes his truck around and he goes to rivers and
drills them down.
Mm-hmm. He drills them in. He makes sure that they're all connected right. He makes sure that the power's on, that the pressure is high,
and that they're not going anywhere.
Because these kayaks are just they're tourist stops. They're just a place for you to take a picture and then leave.
Right. You sit in the kayak, which is bolted by these long poles into the riverbed. Mm-hmm. You sit in it, you take a photo, you post it, you say, look, I went kayaking this weekend.
Yeah.
But you don't actually have to.
Life.
It's all about the illusion.
I'm not depressed. Everyone's happy. Look how great I am. Look how great
right.
of life.
Right. He's a social media influencer developer.
Right.
Right. Because he's part of a larger corporation.
He develops influencers.
He's part of this larger organization that creates these experiences that these social media influencers can come, take photos, pay
yeah,
them,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. and continue to grow their audiences.
So we meet Boris. He's talking with somebody at a river, and he's like, "Yeah, this is the fifth kayak I've installed today. I mean, how many rivers can one place have?"
But we're a professional business. We install a fresh kayak for each influencer because we don't want people to notice that these are the same kayak in the same place.
As he's finishing up this last kayak, he's talking to an influencer behind him, and mm-hmm. and they're getting a little antsy. They're getting gussied up for their photo op,
mm-hmm.
and he's right. like, "Well, I think this one's all good to go." And she climbs into the kayak, and she's like. Oh, well, Eric, would you take my photo, please? And behind her, there's this little guy. I mean, he's pretty small.
He's a small guy.
And he's like, yes, ma'am. And he's like, clearly her, like, I don't know, assistant
something.
Or something.
Entourage.
I don't know what, but clearly something.
Clearly and, something.
And he goes and he puts one foot on the front of the kayak to take the photo.
Mm-hmm.
And his foot slips, and he smacks his face on the front Ooh. Of the kayak, which detaches from the PVC pipes,
mm-hmm.
and they both start to float down the river. And it's kind of like a slapstick humor moment.
Yeah,
right. I mean, we thought it was
goofy.
Funny.
Yeah. We thought it was hilarious.
So they're screaming and
they're screaming
and terrified.
Murder. We are cackling. We are on the
big
floor.
Boris is running down the side mm-hmm. of the river, freaking out.
He's slapping his he slaps his forehead. He's like, "Ah, just my luck." There comes a point in the river. They're mm-hmm. going down. Help us! Help us! Help us! And there's a tree that's been felled in across the river.
Right.
And so he runs, he gets to the tree, he puts his hands out, and he's like, "Hey, grab my hands. No, duh. Of course they're going to grab your hands. What else are they going to do?
So they grab onto the tree.
And they didn't even... And the tree comes loose.
So now all three of them are traveling down this river.
Traveling
this
down this river.
Large,
on a
dead
log.
Tree.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hurtling down this river. I mean... Mm-hmm. like a bullet train, so fast. And they see up in the distance a waterfall. And Boris slaps his head and says, "Just my luck." And they careen off the side of the waterfall. All
they
of them
all go
screaming.
Flying.
Yeah. They let go of the tree. And they're hurtling through the air.
Mm-hmm.
And they land amidst in this I mean, what would you call it? A valley? It's mossy. It's super mossy, and they land Ooh. Softly. I mean, they hit a few branches on the way down, but
well,
they hit
sure.
through a tree clearing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It slows their fall just enough.
Where they're only broken most of their bones.
Right. I mean, Eric's dead.
Eric is completely dead. And they're there they are. Boris. But Boris looks up and he's like, "Hey, are you okay?" Pointing to the girl, and the girl's like, mm-hmm. "Don't you come near me, you plebeian! I'm hot stuff. All
right? I'm live streaming this right now.
Don't you touch me!"
And Boris leaves. He's like, "Okay."
He's like, "Okay, fuck this. I'm a survivalist, also. Mm-hmm. Okay, I may install kayaks as a living, but I'm a three-dimensional character, and I know other things."
And so he walks away and leaves her a crumpled mess in the middle of the woods.
Because her legs were broken. Everything was shattered.
So Boris starts his walk through the woods, and he starts to hear this faint, like, choir-like voice singing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "What is that noise?" And as he starts to walk through the trees, he realizes he's walking deeper and deeper into the woods. It's getting thicker and thicker,
darker and spookier.
But the sound is getting louder and more heavenly.
And he sees a glimmer of light in the distance.
"We're on this shining night."
It's just this orb of light, and he starts to follow this orb of light through the woods. And we get this side shot of him walking, like side, to the side of the frame, from left to right, following this orb, and you see the light illuminating the darkness of the woods.
I'm impressed you memorized that song so quickly.
It was beautiful.
It's a nice tune.
And the ball of light goes into like a stump, like roots of a tree.
Right.
And he is left in total darkness. And he's like, he pulls out his survival kit, which he always has on him, and he lights a flare.
Yeah.
A road flare. And he's, kind of aiming it around the tree.
And he finds that, like, right next to this stump where the orb went into is this deep hole. And so, in a move not unlike Alice of Alice in Wonderland, Boris just dives headfirst into this hole.
It doesn't go as far as Alice in Wonderland. It's only
he gets
about up to his neck. but as he's struggling to get out of the hole, mm-hmm. he realizes that he has full range of motion. He can move his whole body around, and he feels the tree kind of envelop him in this mm-hmm. in its roots.
And then he hears in his head, "Greetings. I'm glad you could make it. We've been waiting for you a long time.
Big Boris.
You are the chosen one, Big Boris."
And he says, "What do you mean the chosen one? Chosen for what? I mean, I always knew I was destined for greatness because I'm the protagonist of my own story, but...
Yeah, but I'm the hero of my tale.
But I really needed to hear a voice in my head to tell me that."
and he hears, I am the lady of the forest. I am here to... You are to be enveloped by my roots, and you are to be a conduit between the trees and the men and women and non-binary."
And he says, "Wow, wow.
I mean, what a progressive tree.
This is amazing. Yeah, not only are you breaking down gender stereotypes, but you're also enveloping me in your roots right now, which is also pretty crazy."
Yes.
And you're telepathic?
Yes, Boris.
"We've been waiting for the chosen one to stumble upon our hidden world here in the woods by the river."
Who are you?
And another tree is...
This is another tree. This is spruce. I'm maple.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Can I get out of this hole now? And they say...
"No." "I'm afraid that you can't get out of the hole yet. We're not done enveloping you. I'm sorry. This might take a minute.
Oh.
It's been a while since last time I enveloped someone. Do be gentle."
Oh! And his eyes get really wide,
and they turn green.
And he sees the extent of the tree world that's been mm-hmm. living hidden from human eyes.
His head tilts backwards and a beam of light shoots out of his mouth through the canopy of the trees. and it makes the choir like sounds get louder and louder.
Trees.
So this film has taken a turn that I didn't expect when we started watching this movie.
Especially when you think of the last scene.
Right. The title. You're going to find out how this all connects. It's wild.
The energy kind of sucks back into his mouth and he spins around from the hole.
He spins around like a corkscrew out of there.
And he's wearing this green tuxedo made out of vines and leaves.
And he looks at it and he's like, wow, it fits perfectly. Just my luck. Oh,
the suit really envelops me.
Yes, Boris, you are now enveloped by the Lady of the Wood.
Also Maple.
Also known as Maple. That's my first name. My first name is Maple. My last name is Lady of the Wood.
Now go forth and tell the humans what you have seen here. But beware, there is one tree who you cannot trust.
Oak. Hi, I'm Oak.
And he's right there.
Hi,
she's telling him to watch out for him.
Hey, Boris, why don't you come over here? I got something to tell you, huh? Why don't you come over here? I just want to whisper something in your ear.
And Boris is intrigued at first.
Mm-hmm.
But he ignores Oak. He says, no, I heard about you.
Something tells me I shouldn't trust you.
There's a long movie yet.
And he says, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. I know I'm the protagonist of my own story, but I didn't hear about no movie. All right. And he starts strutting through the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he starts strutting. And
the woods seem lighter.
Yeah, the woods seem lighter. Wherever he steps, flowers kind of pop into bloom.
Birds are chirping.
Deer are there. And he's just going through. And then he starts singing a little song about the forest and about never noticing how beautiful the trees were until you stop looking at your phone or something. It seemed very, very preachy. I don't know.
Yeah, very pointedly anti-social media.
Yeah. Just get your nose out of your screens and look around you. You can see the forest and the little... And then he falls through the tree line. He stumbles through the tree line, and suddenly he stumbles across
a golf course.
He stumbles across a golf course, and he hears, and he looks just in time to get smacked right betwixt the eyes with a golf ball.
Just my luck, he muses as he falls.
As he passes out.
So he blacks out.
He blacks out.
Straight blacks out.
He straight blacks the fuck out. And he when his eyes open back up, he is surrounded by carnage. This golf course is destroyed. There are upturned golf carts. That there are caddies running for the hills.
All of the holes are filled in.
there's a news truck there. There's a news truck, and that they've got the cameras out, and they're a little ways off, and they're like, hey, just stop, just whatever you want, we'll give it to you, whatever you want. And Boris is like, whoa, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh, don't you try any tricks. You turned into a big tree monster and started destroying things.
And he looks around and he notices that all across the golf course are little trees and plants sprouting up. Like the forest is reclaiming this area that's been leveled for a golf course.
Mm-hmm. And this fella, he's this stuffy looking guy. He's got an ascot on and he's got a hat on. He sounds
like the clones in town here.
Oh my God, he does.
And he comes out with a big old cigar, and he says, "Now, what's going on here? This is my golf course. It's my golf course since I bought this land, or at least I'm pretty sure I bought it. And I knocked down all the trees, and I put in this 18-hole golf course, and I demand to know what's going on here. Who are you, you goddamn thing?"
And Big Boris is like, "Listen, the last thing I knew, I got hit in the head with a golf ball, all right?
You can't sue us for that. It's written, there's signs everywhere that say you look out for golf balls."
And the camera swings around and we see at least seven signs.
Of varying sizes and fonts.
Say, "Danger, you might get hit by a golf ball if somebody yells
you
for...
You can't sue us.
You can't sue us.
No suing allowed."
And everything was signed by the lawyer of the golf club.
So Boris is like, "Well, I've had enough of this conversation. This clearly isn't going anywhere." And he starts to strut off. He's hiking down an old road. There's big trees all around him. It's like a logging road, basically.
Yeah. Lots of stumps and trees. Shaved of all their branches, stacked up in piles,
and he's walking around and he's looking and he hears in his voice a tremor because he's getting real choked up and he hears in his head the voice of the Lady of the Wood, Miss Maple. She says,
"Hi Boris, it's me, Maple. I'm just here in your
checking
head.
In.
I'm just checking in. Isn't this fucked up? All the trees gone and they're all dead and everything. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could avenge them?"
And Boris is like, "It was you. You made me turn into some sort of tree monster when I was unconscious at the golf course." And she was like, "Oh, it was completely inconsequential that you were unconscious. I can do that whenever I please." And all of a sudden, the vines in his tuxedo spring outward and they start lifting him up off of the ground, coming out like tentacles,
and he starts to slash his way through the forest like he's grabbing trees and throwing them to the side as he wrestles his way through the tree line.
Yeah, he's knocking all these trees over. He's bursting his way through this forest, and he comes across a clearing and the vines kind of stop, and he hears,
now you're gonna do what I'm telling you to do.
And he says, "Well, just my luck." And he starts to go on a rampage through this little logging town.
He doesn't want to be.
He's yelling that they're picking up cars and throwing them, and he's like, "Sorry, that's not. I didn't mean to do that." And they're like, it's kind of a comedic scene, a little bit, or at least we were laughing. We were laughing at it.
It was really funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
People screaming and running for their lives,
tearing people in half, vines going into their mouths and their eyes, and
ripping them apart from the inside out. So funny,
just hysterical.
Oh man.
Yeah. And so, but the entire time he's yelling. He's like, I'm sorry. Oh God, why are they making me do this? Oh dear God.
He's really begging for mercy, I'd say.
Yeah.
Which was funny.
It was a romp, let me tell you. Like, what fun for the whole family. Fun for the whole family. And so after he's done with that, he is sitting underneath a waterfall. Like, not in the waterfall, but just behind a waterfall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's hiding out there because the authorities have been called. The military has been summoned.
Mm-hmm. Helicopters are searching for him. He's sitting there, and he's kind of tugging on his suit and kind of shuffling it around and thinking, man, I wish this suit didn't look so good.
It's so form-fitting.
I can take it off. But I can't bring myself to do it.
I'll never find another suit like this.
I'd have to go pay $50 to $100 for a suit that looks, well, just as good.
So he's really struggling with a moral dilemma. Should he free himself of the spirit of the wood, which has turned out to be an entity that wants destruction more than peace between mankind and tree kind? But in the process of doing that, he would need to give up the suit if he wanted to separate himself from that. Like, what a moral quandary!
What
to be
a moral
stuck
quandary!
With.
Give up a suit that destroys people without your consent, or go to a men's warehouse.
I gotta be honest. I don't know what decision I would make in that case.
I don't know either. Like this,
no
this
one
is
knows
not,
until they're in that
exactly.
situation.
You can't even imagine the stress he's going through right now.
You can't put yourself in that situation until you are actually physically in that situation. It's
And so the army starts to burst through the trees.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right.
They've got tanks. He's having this moral conundrum, and he hears rustling in the trees. I think he's over here. Yeah, all right. We got
okay,
locked down.
Okay, sure. Over. That's what you said about the last one. No, I mean it this time. Well, it's bound to be behind one of these waterfalls.
And we get another flash of Boris's face, and he's like, "Oh no!" And he kind of like does like a sweeping motion, and like huddles down the side. And then we get the close up of the army guys coming through the trees, and they're like, "Hey, there's another waterfall over there. Let's check that one."
How many waterfalls does this place have? Well, it has a lot of rivers. It might as well have a lot of waterfalls.
And they start to walk through, and one of them gets grabbed from the feet and slides into the depth of the trees. He's like, "Oh!"
We go into almost like a horror sequence.
Yeah.
Because night has fallen at this point.
Mm-hmm. Night has
so
fallen.
So they're searching with these flashlights on the end of their rifles. And that's like the only light we get in the scene.
And there's also no music.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who did the sound design for this one. I think it was famed sound designer Marcus Lampist.
Was this Marcus Lampist?
I'm pretty sure he won the Academy Award for this one. Look it up, folks. Look it up. Keep me honest.
This would be one of his earlier works if that is Marcus Lampist.
Yeah, geez, Marcus Lampist. He did a lot of horror films. Well, you all know this. You all know.
Of course.
We're huge Lampist heads.
I'm wearing my Lampist T-shirt right now.
You
I guess the listeners don't know this, but
did you get your monthly edition of the Lampist Lampoon?
Oh, you know I did. I've never missed a month yet. Not even when we were living underground.
Anyway, it was
we could
great.
Go on and on about Marcus Lampist.
We would, but this isn't a Lampist podcast.
No.
So, they're getting grabbed into the tree lines. It's a horrific scene.
And hilarious.
And hilarious.
Incredible sound
design. We were snickering like
so
kitties,
funny.
Weren't we?
I mean, when that guy was thought his friend was alive, but his friend was just being controlled from the back from this little like vine
oh
tentacle.
Oh my god. Right. He was fucking
man.
Destroyed.
Vines
oh
came
goodness.
Through his eyes and speared his friend in the head.
Oh, God. And then that other guy went to go grab his friend's hand, and it was just an arm.
Oh, man. Oh, got him.
Oh, geez. And then that other guy who was being dragged by his foot, and he had his fingers dragging in the dirt.
And one of his hands was a photo of his wife and daughter.
He kissed it real quick.
He was screaming. I just wanted to see them one last time.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so we get this great comedic scene, and then we kind of cut to him stumbling out of the woods,
mm-hmm.
and he's on like this high cliff top, and he sees all the lights of the city down below.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like clutching his head like he's fighting it at this point, and then he stumbles into the city, and he's passing by storefronts. He sees like an ice cream shop, and off in the distance he sees a men's warehouse, and right on in the front is a mannequin wearing this beautiful green velour suit.
Yeah, velour suit is green. It's like a nice forest green.
Mm-hmm.
Very beautiful. Very slim fitting. Very modern cut too.
Right.
Double. It had a three piece suit. Had a vest.
And he hears the voice in his head, of the lady of the forest, and she says,
"Boris,
I know what you're thinking." And he's like, "How do you know what I'm thinking? Get out of my head."
Are you kidding, Boris? I can fucking control you without even asking you. I'm in your head, buddy.
Don't do what you're thinking of doing right now.
And he's like, "Okay, Okay. Just here's the deal. I won't do it, but you need to just cut back a little bit. We can't kill everybody, right?
We can try.
Listen, I could take this suit off anytime I want. You see that suit in there?
Oh, I'd like to see you try.
And he starts to try, and he realizes there's spores that have attached themselves to his skin.
Mm-hmm. He missed his opportunity to take the suit off. He could have when he was still in the cave.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
And he's fighting this thing. There's like, he's wigging out. I mean, he's having an issue.
He's wigging out.
He's really like, he's gripping his head some more. He's swaying side to side.
And he collapses in the middle of the street. And some old man runs over and says, "Help, help, we need a doctor, we need a doctor." And a woman comes around the corner. She says, I have a doctorate in botany. Does that help?" And she runs over.
Like, "We need to get some air." And she starts to take the jacket off. Mm-hmm. She like rips it off. He can breathe for the first time. He's like, and she's like, she's like, "What? Nice suit. It seems like you were struggling to breathe in it though."
A little tight, huh? It's a little
snug.
It's a real slim fit here.
Looks like it's cutting off your circulation to your brain. Let's get this off of you. And as it's coming off of him, you hear the lady, the forest voice kind of like fading. She's like, "No."
Yeah, as her power is stripped from him as the jacket is removed.
And then he hears his in his head another voice.
"Good work, Boris. You were able to cast off that witch. Yeah, that's right. I'm Oak, and I'm the good one."
And Hall and Oaks starts to play.
Right, it's a Hall and Oates cover band called Hall and Oaks.
That one, Man Eater.
called Plant Eater.
Hall and Oaks.
So Plant Eater, yeah, Plant by, Eater Hall by Oaks.
Hall and Oaks starts to play. And as he's whisked away in an ambulance, the botanist is holding his hand and kind of talking him through it, you seem like a really nice guy. I don't like you as much without the suit on, but I could see you again if you live." And he kind of fades out and fades up. He's in a hospital bed. He's got an IV in, and he's getting his stomach pumped, and the botanist lady comes in and says, "Oh, are you feeling better? You're finally awake. My name's Julianne, by the way."
Julie.
And he says, "I'm Boris."
I'm Boris. Nice, nice to meet you."
And she says, "As soon as you're strong enough to walk, would you like to walk down to the coffee shop around the corner with me?"
"Would I?"
And we get this sort of montage as she nurses him back to health,
yeah,
helps him with his physical therapy. Well, I mean, she's not the nurse, she's a botanist, but she's there as he's nursed back to health.
Yeah, she's there to support, she's there to...
Of course. And we kind of see this relationship blossom between the two of them.
Yeah.
Not unlike
a
flower or a tree or a plant of some kind.
So Hall and Oaks' Birch Girl starts to play. And it comes to the day of their wedding, and they go back to that same golf course that he had terrorized about a month and a half earlier.
Yes.
And he's wearing a beautiful velour green, forest green suit.
Gorgeous velour. Mm. And it's you guessed it, folks, it's the one from the mannequin in the window of Men's Warehouse.
That it is.
And he opens the door to her dressing room, and she's like, "Don't, you can't come in, don't look, it's bad luck." And he's like, "Oh, I'm not looking, I swear, my eyes are closed, I have my hand over my eyes. I just wanted to tell you that these 6 weeks have been the best 6 weeks of my entire life, and I feel like I've grown so much as a person. I've really sprouted into a new individual. I feel like I'm budding with joy. I mean, my life is
branching out into new avenues.
I never want you to leave me alone.
And with all this physical therapy, I've got so much more junk in my trunk."
I know you have a really nice butt. Now, why? What is that? All you came to tell me? And he says, "No. You know what? I'm a little stumped here, but I just wanted to tell you that I want to treat you right, and I want to make sure that our love continues to bloom and
flourish and I want to be with you for rest of our life.
Is that bouquet with you?"
And she says, "Boris, you son of a birch, kiss me."
And he opens his eyes and they kiss. And right at that moment, a vine bursts through the window and sucks him out the window, out onto the golf course.
Oh my God.
And we hear Julianne screaming and running down the stairs like, "Oh my God, Boris, oh my God." And he's flung across the golf course. I mean, this is, he's getting, I mean, just tore apart. He's getting whipped all around, all 18 holes. I mean.
And he's eventually thrown and he hits one of the few trees on this golf course, because they cleared out all the ones that were sprouting up, of course. And he hits it knees first, and his knees just shatter, just destroyed. And he's laying there on the ground. And we cut to his wife Julianne, and she picks up a golf club and she starts going ham on this vine.
She beats it into submission. I mean, it's a pretty epic fight. I mean, she is.
She knows how to fight this thing because she's a botanist.
She's a botanist, yes. And she's saying botanist things like photosynthesis and the like.
Too much water is bad. Too little is also bad. She's dunking it in the water trap, and she's like, "Ha, you're oversaturated with water now. No more direct sunlight for you." It's a lot of botany lingo. I'm not a botanist.
Yeah. Henry,
I didn't understand.
Do you have some botany lingo?
Yeah, she's like, "This will be the chloroplast I see of you," and she slaps it and
Jesus Christ.
And she's gets on top and like strangles the vine with the golf club, and it slithers back into the darkness, and she runs up and says,
"That's what you get," or something along those
lines.
Yeah,
"That's what you get for leaving me at the altar."
At the altar. Yeah, "That's what you get for leaving me at the altar," which they didn't quite get to the altar. So I mean, it's a little stretch.
Yeah, they didn't quite get there. Yeah.
And Boris says, "Just my luck."
Just my luck.
Looks right at the camera. Cut to black. And that was Big Boris and the Magic Tuxedo.
What a ride.
Yeah, that was, what a ride. Now, I've got to say, I love a wedding story.
Just the classic.
Classic boy meets girl, and they get married.
Any story that has to do with a wedding, like, it's just such a beautiful... Now, granted, this movie didn't have as much a wedding in it as I thought it was going to.
They focus more on the comedy of like people getting maimed.
The interaction between people and the outcome of people being maimed and
with strong undertones of nature versus technology.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which nature loses at the end?
Yeah.
But was nature evil?
Well,
Oak seemed fine.
It seems like Boris was simply barking up the wrong tree.
Oh my goodness. It really seems as though Boris needed to find the roots to this problem.
Boris was in a tree suit. Well, what a film. Let's get to ratings.
I mean, I don't think there's much else to say about this one, honestly.
No, not really. A three-piece suit.
That's great.
Let's get to ratings. Let's get to ratings.
I would have to give this movie a resounding 3 out of 10.
Hey, is that your actual score, or is that just a joke?
Yeah, I didn't like it too much.
Oh, okay.
Not enough wedding.
All right, well, I think I'm going to give this one a 4 out of 10.
Oh, is that your actual score?
Yeah, I thought it was just eh.
And if I was forced to give this a rating, I would give it an 8 out of 10.
Oh.
Who was this? Was this Tim Burton?
Yes, this was Tim Burton. This was Tim Burton. The botanist was actually played by...
Helena Botanist Carter?
That's it. Oh boy. Well, there you go. Okay, fellas, I'm sorry to I'm sorry to kind of cut this short, but we have to get back to work. It's been a wonderful how long have we been we got to get back to work, okay?
Yeah, I got to go. My next banking seminar shoot is in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. You got to get going.
Macaroni's not going to make itself.
You're absolutely That's right.
Can't
and
sit
things
around
aren't going to supervise themselves.
Talking about sappy movies. We got to get going.
All right. Well, if you would like to submit a film for us to watch, you can do so via email at cineplexpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at cineplexpodcast. And if you want to learn banking or one of any number of things, swing by the theater here in Timberdale and you can take a seminar.
Yeah, come on by
and
see
flick.
Any of our seminars or our movies. Yes, indeed. We've got a wonderful variety of seminars, including but not limited to reinforcing drywall.
Mm-hmm.
Tapes galore.
Fence defense.
Stamp. It's just called stamp. This one just says stamp.
Just called stamp. Yeah, that one also doesn't have a description.
is it a musical where we use devices, or is it just about letters? We don't know. But anyway, there's something for everyone. There really is.
Yeah.
Truly.
And you can take that to the banking seminar.
Yeah, come on by my banking seminar. I don't know much about banking. They seem to think my clone must know a lot about banking.
What would your clone know about banking?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, we will get back to work, or I will be forced to supervise you elsewhere.
So you would leave
Bye.
The